Okay, good morning, everybody. It's 9 o'clock. Am I turned on now? All right, can you hear me okay? Yeah, there we go. And I'm guessing we'll see if we have a quorum. I hope everybody stayed dry. Wow, what a rainstorm for East Volusia. We didn't get nearly this much rain over on the west side. I mean, we got a little bit, but nothing like this. This was crazy. Crazy this morning. I came in early, and it was just nutty. Okay, we will call the meeting to order, and I will tell you, Councilmember Patterson's office manager can't get out of her house this morning because of flood, so he's in the office. He will not be joining us today. He just called to let me know. Pam, if you could call the roll call, please.
Commissioner Gilliland?
Here.
Councilmember Andy Peters?
Present.
Vice Mayor Lucas? Mayor Lasarza?
Here.
Councilman Edgar?
Here.
Commissioner Surrey?
Here.
Vice Mayor McGarris? Councilmember Taylor?
Here.
Commissioner Sowers?
Here.
Vice Mayor DiLorenzo?
Here.
Councilmember Ford is excused. Vice Mayor Long is excused. Commissioner Rebels is excused. Councilmember Patterson is excused. Councilmember Denny's?
Here.
Councilmember
here.
Councilmember Wagner.
I'm here. I need clarification on what is excused.
They call beforehand.
So they're missing.
Yes.
All right.
Mayor Ardell.
Here.
Vice Mayor Rogers.
Councilmember
Wheeler.
Here.
Commissioner Shue.
Here.
Commissioner Lane.
Here.
Mayor Gibson.
Here.
Commissioner Sal. Or Mayor Sal.
Here.
Councilmember Perot.
Here.
Linda Costello.
Here.
Heather Blake. Phyllis Blaze.
Here.
Bob Storms.
Here.
We have a quorum. Very good. Okay, we'll stand for the Pledge of Allegiance, please.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Okay, do we have any public comments? Is there any public participation? Okay, if you want to come to the lectern and please give us your name and address for the record.
I'm Elizabeth Alicia Lendian. My address is 5540 South Andalusia Avenue, DeLeon Springs. At your seat, you will find a flyer about DeLeon Springs Autumn in the Oaks Festival. It's going to be October 25th from 9 to 4. And the DeLeon Springs Community Association has been working very hard to put on this Autumn in the Oaks Festival. It's the second year that we've put it on. There's going to be a Ponce de Leon look-alike contest, several prizes for that. And it's just a lot of fun, arts, festival, music, and I hope you can make it. Thank you.
Thanks for bringing that to our attention. Other public comments? Okay, I don't see any. So we will move to the consent agenda. Items A through L are on the consent agenda. Does anybody want to pull any item from the consent agenda?
Motion to approve the consent agenda.
Thank you. Approved by Rob Gillian and seconded by Billy Wheeler. Any questions? All those in favor of the consent agenda?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Thank you very much. And we'll move to our action items. And we'll action item A is review and approval of resolution 2014-33, amending the 2013-14 through 2017-18 and 2014-15 through 2018-19 transportation improvement programs. And if you would like to update the members of the TPO on what we're doing here.
Sure. Each year when we develop the new five-year TIF, we're ending the first year of the old TIF and we're adding an out year. The TIP and the Transportation Improvement Program, or TIP, and the work program are both being developed, and they take effect at the beginning of the fiscal year. But from time to time, there are, and it's not unusual, projects that were supposed to have been obligated during that or authorized during that particular fiscal year that's dropping off, and for some reason they've been delayed and they haven't moved forward. And so they automatically roll forward as a part of the DOT's work program, but they do not automatically roll forward in the TIP. And so each year the Department of Transportation reviews the new TIP, and then they give us a letter requesting that we add and amend and make some changes. And so in this case, this is the standard roll forward. There's been a few projects that DOT has asked us to add, and those are included in that letter. In addition, we correct a few minor errors, and that's really what we're looking at. And again, because we have one more week left before the federal fiscal year starts, we have to amend both the old and the new TIP for some of the projects. So Bob Keith, the senior planner, really manages this effort. If you have any questions, he'd be happy to answer them, and if not, we'll look for your approval.
Any questions for the staff? If not, I'll entertain a motion. Thank you, Mr.
Second.
Gillian. Rob Saylor, second that. Any questions? Seeing no hands, all those in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, thank you very much. Item B, and I understand item B, there's a little bit of a hiccup on this item, and this is the one that the county sent the resolution of support on for the study, particularly on A1A. So if you could enlighten us, Ms. Bollenbach, as to what our issues are and what our possible options are to move this particular item forward.
We have, for the last few meetings, been talking about addressing some corridor studies that members of this TPO have felt a need to pursue, one being State Road A1A, the other being State Road 100, which runs from US 1 in Bunnell. It goes through Bunnell, Palm Coast, Flagler County, and Flagler Beach. It's similar to Dunlawton or Granada in this area. And then also Belterre Parkway, which was submitted for feasibility study, which typically would be the type of process where we would study a single intersection. But in this case, it's studying a series of intersections and the corridor. And what they're trying to do there is create some standardization along the corridor, very much like what we've been talking about when we do our corridor improvement plans, so that there is a lot of predictability for a driver as they move through the corridor. And then also to look at some improvements that might be necessary because of some additional development that they are going to have. And so what we had discussed was flexing some of the dollars that we get as a TPO. They're called extra urban funds, or SU is the fund code that you would see in our transportation improvement plan. And those come to us to develop projects, to construct projects, to purchase right-of-way, to use however this TPO wants to use. And we've done this before. We've shifted some of those funds. But there's a little bit of a snag in that recommendation, and that is each year when the DOT sets up their programming, they only get budget authority to spend a certain amount of money in each type of phase. So only a certain amount in construction and a certain amount in right-of-way. And years back, it was a little easier to flex money between those particular phases. Over several points in the year, they were allowed to what they called realign those dollars. And the state has stopped allowing that. So the DOT gets kind of hemmed in. And what we have heard back from the department is they don't have any more budget authority. Now, we're still in the first quarter of the fiscal year. And so I think Claudia may have to speak for the department as to what they've decided to spend the planning dollars on in this area, because the TPO board certainly may say, well, you know what, can we flip? Can we put off one of those studies and move one of these studies up? So I'd like the DOT to go ahead and speak to that issue. But as it stands right now, we can't flex the dollars for all of these projects. So what does that mean? The first project, which would be the A1A safety project, we'd have to either look for DOT to fund that project, or we'd have to wait until the next fiscal year when we would be able to flex those dollars before all the budget authority was consumed. The Belterre Parkway, we would be able to leave on the feasibility study list and still move forward with that project. There is adequate funding there. My concern about that, and one of the reasons that I wanted to move that over, is it sets a little bit of a precedent in using feasibility studies money in a way that we hadn't really intended for studies that are more corridor-based. And so I think we would want to be very cautious as we go through the next call for projects to probably find a way to close that door. Otherwise, we may have all kinds of planning studies being requested, and again, that's not really the direction that that funding was intended to head. And then finally, the State Road 100 would be in the same situation as A1A. We would ask for that to be funded if we found that to be higher than the other priorities, and if not, then it would be eligible, and we would flex that beginning in the next fiscal year. And as a reminder for us, the fiscal year begins in July. So it would be July 2015 before we could start that project. So that's some background on where we stand. Again, I would like DOT to go ahead and weigh in on the planning funds before we come up with...
Okay. Claudia?
Well, Lois stated was correct. At this time, there are no planning. There's no planning budget to move to swap the funds around. We are in the planning stages of the budget for fiscal year 16, so there's an opportunity to do a fund swap. So what that means is getting a cost estimate and putting a request in for the additional funds for planning to affect that change, that swap. Or there's an opportunity also to put these projects on the priority list and perhaps go through our corridor study program through Heather Garcia's group. So there's really two opportunities there for the board.
Okay. And I'm sorry, Rob.
No.
I didn't see it. Go ahead.
Actually, Lois, it's my understanding that the TCC took a position on this and has a recommendation.
Yeah, the TCC and the CAC recommended that, of course, we didn't have this information at the time. They recommended proceeding forward as the recommendation was presented in the package. The TCC recommended moving forward. Again, we didn't have this information from DOT, so they were dealing with the original recommendation, and that was to move forward with A1A and Belterre, but not to move forward with State Road 100. And there were two reasons, as far as I understand, and I would refer to Heather if she was here to represent the TCC, but the two points that I understood them to say was, the way we approach the corridor improvement program, which is one step or phase at a time, because that's all we have money for, in that first phase doesn't yield project outcomes. It kind of yields recommendations for next steps. And they were uncomfortable with that, the fact that we're not going to have specific project recommendations at the end of that first phase. The other is there was just a lack of understanding about State Road 100, what the needs were, what the issues were. Now, the representative from Flagler County expressed that they would be comfortable with whatever came out of Phase 1 and that they would carry that information forward. I'm sorry, Commissioner Revels not here. So, again, she was hopeful that that would remain in this recommendation, and she was comfortable with believing that the county, Flagler County, would be able to carry forward recommendations out of that study anyway.
And that was for 100?
State Road 100.
It was for 100, okay. Commissioner DiLorenzo, am I pronouncing it correctly?
Yes, thank you. Claudia, of those options you presented, which one has a higher likelihood of working? Does one have a higher likelihood of working, or is either one, how do we base our decision?
With regard to the budget, we put the budget together and submitted to the legislature, so we're at their mercy as to an approval or not. So through Heather's group, again, she goes through a priority list, all the TPOs. She handles Metro Plan, the Ocala TPO, Space Coast. So all those considerations for studies are looked at, and depending on her budget,
But that's not this year.
Correct. That's for 16.
That would be for 16.
So,
go ahead.
Heather's group. Those this would get added to her list, and it would be she'd have to, or it would be evaluated with all those other corridor studies.
Correct.
Uh huh. Okay, and then prioritized out of that?
That's correct.
Can you tell me what the corridor studies are that are being pursued in this fiscal year?
As far as I know, everything for this fiscal year is already programmed, and I sent you a couple of emails, but I think for the other, for district-wide?
For this planning area.
We had the U.S. 92 connectivity. She's funded that. U.S. 1 CIP.
That's and those are funded out of this year's dollars?
The connectivity is?
The U.S. 1 CIP started last year.
Correct. But it's ongoing, so it uses funds from multiple years. Am I correct with that, Mary?
Good morning, Mary Schessel with the Florida Department of Transportation. Maybe I can help, and I'm actually got the work program right here now, and I will look and make sure that Lois gets the projects that we have studies going in Volusia County right now. I believe that Heather has the State Road 44 that she's looking at right now to doing for the Volusia TPO. It was the miscellaneous one that was on your priority list. I think that's the one she's looking at right now, Lois.
But I believe that started before this fiscal year as well.
And I will look because I'm not sure. But to answer your question, if Heather has... And from my understanding, she does. If it's put on your priority list, she could possibly start it this fiscal year. The other option is that next year, whenever we do the, not next year, this gaming cycle that we're going through right now, if you add that to your priority list, we can certainly consider that and put it on for beginning in July 1st of 2015. So both options work. It's just when would you like to do it sooner? The other option you have, and I'm not sure if you've got studies going on right now that maybe you could swap. Maybe those studies that are going on right now is not as important as this one. So there's an opportunity, if it hasn't already started, maybe we could do a swap and you could do this one first and put the other one in the next fiscal year.
Well, that was my point in asking what has been put on the list. We're in the first quarter of the fiscal year,
right.
So not all of the studies that were programmed with this year's dollars have actually moved forward and been put under contract. And if we could see that list of studies,
agreed,
then this group would have an opportunity. And so my recommendation at this point would be, without that information, that we get that information from DOT, and then we have an opportunity to determine what the priorities of this group would be and ask the DOT to delay if they already have something
on
the list.
Could we have, would we be able to have that information by the next executive committee meeting so that the executive committee could talk about...
Absolutely. I can go out and make a call right now and get that for you if you want me to. I mean, I can just make a phone call and find out those studies if you want me to.
Well, I'm not sure that we have enough information to sit here and hammer that out. I think
absolutely,
it would probably be better if we continue this item until next month,
sure,
and bring it back next month. And in the interim, the staffs work together. But clearly, for purposes of Volusia County, they passed a resolution on the A1A study, and so that's a significant need that we're seeing to get started. So, yeah, we would be interested, speaking from the county perspective, in hearing what we could, if there's something we could swap out, and I'm sure that Flagler County would as well.
Absolutely.
So, I'm sorry, Billy?
Billy Wheeler, council member in Daytona Beach Shores. I just want to make sure that we do understand the importance of the A1A corridor. Going through the Daytona Beach Shores, the majority of our residents are on the east side, and the majority of the restaurants and groceries and everything is on the west side. And we are continuously having problems with pedestrians crossing the street. You know, we have a few walks, but people go right through them. And that is the same way all the way down that corridor. And I think as we're seeing more and more development on the east side, it's starting to come back. It is only going to create more of a problem. And I just want to encourage everybody to see this as a real need.
Great. So if I'll entertain a motion to continue. Billy, are you going to make that?
Yes.
Okay, Ms. Denny's made that
second.
Motion. You'll second it. Thank you. Seeing no other additional comment, all those in favor of continuing this until next month, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Thank you very much. And we will take this up at the executive committee meeting. Moving to C, review and approval of the Central Florida MPO Alliance Regional Priority Project List. And this is, we do this every year, and if you could update us on where the Central Florida, what do we call it, the MPO Alliance is.
CFMPOA.
It's a mouthful.
Rolls right off the tongue.
Yeah.
So for those of you that are new or perhaps don't keep up with everybody else's calendar, we have three representatives from this board that represent the River to Sea TPO on the Central Florida MPO Alliance, and that group involves all of the MPOs in Central Florida, Space Coast, Ocala Marion, Metroplan. And we get together and we talk about regional issues. We get together once each quarter. And last year, for the first time, we developed a regional priority list. And that regional priority list consisted of strategic intermodal system, trails, and transit. Again, trails and transit that have a regional element, not local trails or local bus service. And again, the whole idea here is we each, as MPOs, create priority lists and we send them to the Department of Transportation, District 5, who tries to take all the money that's available and accommodate our priorities. What we wanted to do when it came to regional projects was try to do that work for DOT in advance and let them know what the MPO's priorities would be in this area. And it was very successful in that when it came to the trails list, the Department of Transportation agreed to take their portion of transportation alternative dollars, of which we get a really small amount. We can barely build a trail with it. We get less than $500,000 a year for this particular TPO. So they decided to use their 50% of TAP money to help move some of these trail segments forward. And what that meant was the two segments of the East Central Florida Rail Trail here in Volusia County got funded to the tune of just over $10 million, which was huge because we had not anticipated funding to become available for that for quite some time. And so we're back again with an update to that list. But as you probably read in the agenda, what we did this year was really just kind of move along projects that had been funded. There weren't really a lot of new entries. And under the trail list, they have new projects are listed as just unranked projects. And that's a little bit problematic. Here locally, we have a process for updating those lists and sort of resorting priorities each year. But we had not worked through that through the MPO Alliance. And at the last meeting, when we would have addressed that, the group didn't have a quorum. So really, we've updated the list. And I think in the spirit of regional support, we want to continue this process. But certainly by next year, we need to have a process for updating the list. And this is especially important for this area because we're doing a regional trail study. And by the time we're done with that study later this year, we should be ready to make some changes to decide what regional trail projects need to be added to that list. And it should impact our priority list significantly. So, I would look for your support. And the MPO Alliance is looking for the support of this TPO to continue this process and support the regional efforts.
Ms. Wheeler, did you have a question?
No. Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay, are there any questions for the staff on this? If not, I'll entertain a motion to move it forward. Thank you, Ron Saylor, and seconded by Jean Empter. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you very much. And I'm sorry that we're moving through this pretty fast because we have a workshop that we want to get to. And so we actually, on our presentations and discussion items, took a few things off, so we'll move to that now. Presentation on the Cross-County Connector Study. Ms. Bullenbach,
okay,
who's doing that?
We have Ralph Beauvais here, and he is with the team that is undertaking this study. They are a consultant to DOT, who is pursuing this study at the request of Volusia County specifically and through this TPO. He's going to fill you in on how that's moving along.
Thank you, Director. Good morning, Madam Chair, members of the board. My name is Ralph Beauvais. I'm with Parsons Brinckerhoff. Our firm has been selected by the Florida Department of Transportation to conduct the Volusia County Transit Connector Study. And so we're here today really simply just to let you know that we've started the study. Provide to you a brief description of the scope and the study limits and the process that we'll follow moving forward, and also talk a little bit about our approach to public involvement and public agency coordination. The key members of the project team are listed on this slide. I'm here on behalf of Libertad Acosta Anderson, who sends her regards to the board and regretfully could not attend today because she's attending mandatory training at the department. So You got me. The study area shown here on this map, and through coordination with Volusia County and FDOT, the study area limits were actually extended once we started the project. This is really a systems planning study to look at the need for providing enhanced transit service within the study area that extends from just south of State Road 46 on the south end up to US 1 in Daytona. The study area generally parallels the existing SunRail facilities on the west side and generally follows the existing transportation corridors of I-4 and US 92. So we're doing this study to look at the need for providing enhanced transit service throughout this area, developing and evaluating alternatives and evaluating those in terms of project development in the future with the Federal Transit Administration and their process. And so this really involves a comprehensive public involvement and public agency effort as we go through a screening process. Really, the study is a three-tiered step process where we look at the beginning of, we're in the process of reviewing existing information, data collection, looking at past studies, beginning to identify some initial alternatives, both from a mode standpoint and a corridor location standpoint. Then we'll move into a more detailed evaluation of initial screening of those viable alternatives, all leading up to the identification of a recommended alternative that could potentially move into the Federal Transit Administration's project development process. So we're really at the very beginning of this long process in the planning efforts, corridor study planning, and then hopefully at the end we collectively identify a recommended alternative that could then move through the FTA process and become eligible for future federal funding. Public outreach is a very important part of the work that we do. We've developed a comprehensive public and public agency coordination program. It has a lot of different tools, including providing updates to this board and all of the other elected officials. That's really what we're doing right now, is providing this kickoff presentation to all of the elected boards within the study area. And then also providing other opportunities for the public to provide input, including the technical staff for each of your respective governmental agencies. We've established a project advisory group, which consists of senior-level staff members from representing planning and engineering folks for all of the agencies, transit providers, and municipalities within our study area. And we will be meeting with this group on a monthly basis. And that really will help us stay on task, because we want to be able to present the technical results of the project to that group and get their input. But in addition to that, we have other tools that we'll be using in our public involvement program. Public meetings will be scheduled at key milestones throughout the study. We are available for one-on-one group meetings. We're available and have budget to come before this board and your advisory committees on a periodic basis throughout the study, as well as to make presentations to each of your elected official boards as we move forward. The point is, we want to have enough public involvement. We want to be comprehensive and go out to the people and be grassroots and really generate a lot of interest and input for this project. We hope to complete this study over an 18-month duration. We started officially in June of this year. As I mentioned, we're in the process of conducting these agency kickoff meetings through the month of October. We are tentatively planning our first public kickoff meetings in December, and I use plural for meetings because of the size of our study area. Each public meeting event, will have two actual meetings, one on the south end of the corridor and one on the north end of the corridor, so that we can maximize the opportunities for people to come and talk with us. Moving forward into the spring of next year, we will present our initial alternatives, then the viable alternatives later on about this time next year, and then hopefully be complete by December of 2015. Again, there you see the FDOT contacts. Libertad Acosta Anderson is our project manager. Her alternate is Brenda Young. And at this time, Madam Chair, I would be happy to entertain any questions or take any comments.
Thanks, Ralph. That was a very quick presentation. We appreciate your consideration
with our
agenda. Mr. Saylor. Commissioner, Councilmember Saylor.
On the projected schedule page, you've got a nice pretty page. It isn't big enough for everybody to read. Is there any chances of getting that page
Yes, sir, and we have actually a more simplified version of this. Is our just a representation of our schedule, and we're also in the process of establishing a website. So once that website is up and running, we'll make sure that everyone gets access to that, but we will certainly share the project schedule with you, sir.
And you also had one of your slides about an advisory group. Have you filled those positions yet, the project advisory group?
Yes, we have. We've made recommendations, and those positions have been filled. I can provide that roster you to
could,
you. I don't know all the names off the top of my
too.
Head.
Thank you.
But it's generally speaking, key leaders from a senior managers from a technical standpoint in each of the agencies.
And we included the handicapped community in that?
We will. Actually, a third or fourth component of our public involvement coordination is we're going to establish a community liaison group, which would be very similar to the project advisory group. And this will give us an opportunity to reach out to the traditionally underserved, the disadvantaged, the chambers of commerce, key stakeholders that are, major players in the study area. So that's another component of our program.
Great. Thank you. Other questions for Mr. Beauvais? If not, this is just an update. There is no action required on this. We appreciate it. We look forward to watching the project move forward and being involved in it.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Ralph. Okay, under status reports, there are three reports in there that we would have given you a full accounting of today, but because we're moving into a workshop, we put them in the agenda for you to review. I don't know whether you had an opportunity to take a look at those before you came, and if you had any questions on those now. Otherwise, if you read them at your leisure, and then if you have questions, get with Mrs. Bollenbach or one of the staff members. Marshall. Yeah, we'll move to that. That would be the you're right. I went right past that. I blew right past the FDOT reports. But, well, let's finish up on the status reports, and we'll go back to FDOT. So are there any questions on the status reports? Okay, we'll go to the FDOT report then for Claudia. You're back. Anything you want to tell us? Thank you, Marshall.
Good morning. Claudia Calzaretta, FDOT. I do not have any new projects to report on, but I'll take any comments or questions you may have.
A couple things. Where are we time-wise on the current widening project for Interstate 4 between DeLand and Daytona? Is that on time?
It's on schedule, summer 15.
Okay. And the two overpasses for the pedestrian pet overpasses, one going over 415 and one over 442, what's the status of those?
They're on schedule. I can give you a detailed schedule when I get back to the office.
Okay.
But I haven't heard anything changing.
Okay. Thank you very much. Ms. Dennis, did you have anything that you wanted to talk about on that particular project?
I think we're talking about Park Avenue.
Park Avenue, yeah.
I'd like to talk about Park Avenue. There's a meeting held. Commissioner Emter can add to this. There's a concern with Park Avenue and a recommendation that the third lane is not necessary for expansion on Park Avenue. And you need to know that Volusia County, in partnering and collaborating for months with the City of Edgewater, has creatively funded an expansion of Old Mission and Park Avenue because there's an industrial complex, commercial complex on Park Avenue. The landowners in that area have donated the land for the right-of-way, working with the city and with the county. And it is a desire of the City of Edgewater. And I believe they did indeed pass a resolution unanimously at the council meeting, their city council meeting, and it will be coming forth to Volusia County Council, a similar resolution of support in widening Park Avenue. So our concern is...
We want it all.
We want it all, and most concerning in looking at the picture is Brevard County telling us it doesn't need to be expanded. I believe they're the ones that weighed in. So we're going to be a little more vocal and a little more visible in this issue. I represent District 3 and that area and have been working for months with the city and the landowners down there. And this would be a disservice, not to just Southeast Volusia, but all of Volusia County, because in this particular corridor, this industrial complex, commercial complex, when we looked at it as Volusia County, it ranked number 3 and number 4 for acreage, but when it came down to availability, it kicked up to the number 1 and number 2 slot, and as we know, as this economy is turning around, this is a very viable piece for Volusia County and economic development. So we want to make sure that this that Brevard County or anybody else going forward doesn't have the ability to take that other lane out on Park Avenue.
Mr. Emter, do you have something you'd like to add to that, Councilor Bremter?
Echo what Mrs. Dennis was talking about just last night. There was an FDOT public meeting regarding the Titusville to Edgewater Trail loop, and their recommendation was to bring that bike trail down US 1, which is slightly crazy, and then up Park Avenue. And in order to create part of the bike trail up Park Avenue, to take one lane away from Park Avenue, the city has suggested several other alternatives, and the cost factors are relatively the same. I mean, they're not exactly the same, but they're very close. But the point of the matter is, we are trying to increase the economic transportation element by adding a lane to Park Avenue. FDOT is recommending a bike path that will take away a lane on the same road. Doesn't make a lot of sense. We were, and our residents were pretty unanimous in not supporting the removal of a lane from Park Avenue, but we're very supportive of the three laning of the rest of the project because of the improvement in commercial transportation, semis, dump trucks, and that kind of thing, into our heavily growing industrial area.
Okay, we wanted to get that into the record. So, this is a concern. So
I will bubble this information up.
And I think probably, Ms. Dennis, you'll be bringing this back to County Council for some.
Indeed.
Yeah. Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. Lois?
Yeah, just quickly to be real clear, Brevard County cannot, and I don't think they're attempting to dictate information or projects or decision making that's happening in this area. This particular study was initiated by the Brevard TPO, but it is a DOT study. And I wish I could explain how this has gone askew, but I don't really have a good, clear answer. I've been in contact with reps from the city as well as from the DOT to try and understand, but you may recall when the DOT first came and gave a presentation, the CPO was not happy with the recommendations. They went back to again, give them credit, and they modified the scope, and they spent quite a bit of additional money to continue looking at this. But for some reason, we are still not where we want to be. The city is still not satisfied with the recommendation, and the recommendation is not in keeping with the directions that the city is headed in terms of the development of Park Avenue. So just yesterday, I did speak with the engineer who's in charge of this study, or who took over this study midstream. You know, you always love when you take over a study and it's got issues. And I think she's working very hard to try and understand how to get this closed out in a way that is satisfactory to the city. But if it doesn't seem like we're headed in that direction, certainly actions by the city, the county, and this TPO should be able to send a very clear message. But to be clear as well, the fact that this study says anything doesn't matter unless the city or the county actually pursues a project. So I think, you know, calling something a locally preferred alternative that is not a locally preferred alternative is a part of the big issue. The DOT is challenged in part because
they can't make recommendations. This is a study that's using federal funds or state funds. They can't make a recommendation on local roads, and they can't do the work necessary to vet that local alternative that the city wants. And so I've talked to them about how they can follow their requirements but still satisfy what the city and the county are looking for. And hopefully, again, we can get to those terms. I think they're supportive in trying to get there.
They usually are. Gene,
just to add a comment. The issue with the city is just that one part. We are totally excited about the concept of the loop, of the total loop. It would be beneficial to everybody to tie into the East Central to, you know, provide additional bike trail opportunity. It's just that one little segment there that is a problem. And I've got to say, too, having talked to the FDOT representatives that were there last night, they seem to hear it loud and clear. They seem to understand what we were saying and the reasons for what we were saying, and they seemed very happy about taking that back and looking at what the alternatives might be to satisfy the issue.
Great. That's very good news.
Yeah.
That's very good news. I didn't make that last night. The rain kind of... I'm surprised they even still had it with the storms you had over on the east side.
Actually, there were quite a few.
Really?
In attendance.
Wow.
We had 5.5 inches of rain yesterday.
I know you did. It was crazy.
And
they still came
still
out.
Good attendance.
Good. Okay. We will move on to the executive director's report. If you have anything else to add, Ms. Bolenbach?
The only thing I have to add or remind you, Madam Chair, is that we do have a trophy that we need to
That's
present.
Right. I forgot the trophy.
So everybody has a copy of the final report at their workstation, and there's some more back here if you'd like to grab a few on your way out. But I was here last month to present this to Mr. DiLorenzo, and I wasn't unable to do that. And
that is some trophy.
I'd like to
formally
present it, the winner of the Tell of the TPO Ambassador Award to Vice Mayor Jason DiLorenzo.
Well, let's get a picture with Jason in it too. That is great. Wow. Congratulations. Good job.
It's a good thing we're building a new city hall, isn't it?
That would be the first thing in your trophy case. That is great. Okay. We will go to board members for any final comments before we end our meeting and take a few minutes break. We set up for the – you don't need to set up?
No.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll start over here. Lee, do you have anything you want to –
No.
We'll just come down. Mr. Mayor, I thought you maybe had something you wanted to raise.
The only thing I thought I'd bring up is I know Ron was there Saturday at the West Volusia Summit. Noran Downs from DOT was there, and she encouraged us on the west side to start making plans because everyone else is with the I-4, you know, future
widening,
construction,
yeah.
Widening and all that. And we stressed that there wasn't sufficient funding. Even if DOT puts a bridge over Rhode Island, we're talking about mostly, who's going to pay to get from the bridge into our communities? There's no funding.
Yeah, there was
place.
Some concerns by the internal roadway networks,
right,
for the cities.
And then,
yeah,
the impacts, once that's widened to the extent they're planning right now, how we would move traffic around in our cities. Rhode Island, we all looking forward to that road being in there, but enormous amount of commercial industrial businesses will be hurt by the widening from 1792 down to I-4. So it's just something they want us preliminary to get the cities on the west side together and ask you to find that little pocket of money that you seem to have floating around that we could, you know, do some initial planning. And I think really it's mostly felt tip markers and some maps down in that area, but maybe get some help on where we can go.
Lois?
I have reached out to DOT to talk a little bit, not only about that project, but also about the I-4 construction. As a reminder to you all, in the Orlando area, is going to start just after the start of the new year.
Yeah.
And so when it comes to SunRail ridership, this may be an opportunity for a lot of people who haven't already explored that as a possibility to do that. But the DeBerry Station is already at 80% parking. And so they have the trains to carry additional demand, but working out the parking arrangements and how people are going to get to the station is going to be a big
They're
issue.
Already talking about that, moving that expansion up. They talked
about
that.
There's room for another 200 and some parking spots there. But based on what they said Saturday, unless I'm wrong, that should just about get under construction about the time I-4 starts its construction, so it's going to be a tight get that extra parking in time for what they need, but that's in line with exactly what they're doing. I was impressed that DOT's on top of it. The one thing that I could say from our end, and you all in the other parts of the county, when it comes someday, I probably won't be here, but when it gets over to the airport, those agents or customer service representatives or whatever you want to call
ambassadors
that they had on a platform, I think they pulled them
way early.
And I know that Mrs. Down said they're looking into reinstituting that or putting them back on there because a lot of the normal ridership of our residents go down there and they're kind of lost because of the challenges with the, you know, the ticketing and the swiping on and tapping on. But that's a small issue compared to some of the things we do today. But I just wanted to make sure that you're aware that we're going to start meeting down there, probably in those three cities, and doing a lot of talking about future funding for roads that are going to tie into what's going on and our concerns with internal transportation issues if there were to be some sort of a holdup on I-4 construction or just traffic jams.
And Lois, perhaps for November, we'll ask FDOT to do a presentation on the project as it begins in January in the Orlando area and have some discussion about Volusia County. If we could do that, schedule that for November, our November meeting. We meet in November, right? It's December, we don't meet.
October and November.
Yeah, okay. I just wanted to give them enough leeway time.
It was a good update, though. I think Ronald and Greg meeting was there, I know for sure.
Okay, James?
I have one cup. Is this on?
I think so.
Okay.
There you go.
One comment. I'd like to echo Councilmember Wheeler's comments from earlier in the meeting. I know the item was continued, but I represent half of the beachside area in Ormond Beach, and I can say I, along with Commissioner Kent, who represents the other half in Ormond Beach, receive a ton of comments from and complaints from residents who are trying to get across A1A. And so I think, you know, the big thing is not only pedestrian safety, but also consistency throughout that corridor.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I talk to people, there's blinking lights. Some areas,
it's a mess.
Identification. Other areas, it's just a blank slate. So really ringing the bell on that issue in terms of getting consistency for pedestrian safety. That's
exactly where I'm at. And I think Daytona Beach Shores really has a nice model that we should take a look at. Mr. Wagner?
Just that we need to try to figure out a way to also put Atlantic Avenue on there too, not just A1A, because you have a lot of sections, Dunlawton to Ponce Inlet to the jetty is not A1A. When you get into New Smyrna and you go from the causeway north, that's not A1A, so we need to make sure Atlantic's part of that as well. As far as other roads that are basically border the Atlantic Ocean, if we can figure out a way to do that. Now, that may have to be money out of some of this, maybe out of the cities and counties, you think, or do you think they'll fund it?
If it's state funding, then they can only spend it on a state road.
Yeah,
if we use
roads.
The federal money, then we can use it. And you may recall last year we did a pedestrian safety study in New Smyrna. Mm-hmm. It ended up with some crossings being recommended and installed.
Okay.
So it really depends on where
on the funding source. Okay.
Thank you.
Ms. Cusack, anything?
I have no comment.
Thank you.
The A1A safety project's been born in Daytona Beach. We haven't said anything on it yet, but you know, it looked like there was an opportunity today for us to push this through with that and the in Belterre, and I kind of wish we would have done that and then figured out a way to address 100 later. But hopefully we'll get this resolved for the next meeting.
Any other? Okay, thank you very much. And I... Did you have a question? I didn't...
No, I just want to reiterate what John Sars was just talking about there in Deltona. Because as I was listening to a lot of that, one of the reasons I brought up a couple of the subjects I did is long-range planning is going to have a lot of juggling. It's going to have to happen with the way things are moving with that project. And it's it's a very needed project. So it's one of the things that's kind of a key issue to us right now in this time frame with long-range planning. So that's the reason. And I also wanted to publicly apologize to Lois about not getting an invitation to that meeting, because when we hold something, no matter where, that has anything to do with transportation, it'd be nice to let her know. Thank you.
Okay. The only thing I would add is if you all will, when you have a moment, take a look at the CAC, TCC, and BPAC attendance reports, and there's a number of vacancies on each of those boards, and it's identified on the sheet who has that vacancy, and we could try to maybe fill those. That would be, I think, good for the process. More voices that we are hearing from around the cities and the county, the better our information that is returned to us. So with that, we will adjourn this meeting, and Ms. Bollenbeck, I'm going to turn.